This is Stories of New Americans with Ron Clutho, featuring inspirational and fascinating personal stories of people from all corners of the globe who are now in St. Louis. We'll take a look at the U.S. through newcomers' eyes, get some insight into world history and cultures, and maybe learn something about ourselves. Stories of New Americans on News Talk STL.
Welcome to Stories of New Americans here on News Talk STL. Tonight, I'm joined by Frances Sommerhoff, who is from Australia originally. So, good day. Welcome.
Hi.
And Frances is a relative of mine. I guess I should say that. You're married to my cousin. And I've been looking forward to this interview because you're a lot of fun, and I think it's going to be a really fun interview.
What?
Yes, you. And I wanted to start by, I didn't warn you about this question before, but I usually ask people to choose a song from their country that we kind of intersperse throughout the interview as sort of, I don't know, just give some context. And the song you chose was called I Still
Call Australia Home.
Yeah, that song. I mean, I told you that really touched my heart. I didn't even, I'm not Australian and I've never heard it before. I know, but it's great.
So which version did you listen to?
I listened to both, but we're going to use the –
There's three.
Well, I listened to the Peter Allen version and I listened to
That's the original.
How do you say that? Qantas?
The Qantas.
We're doing the Qantas version in the
– There's two Qantas versions. There's a 20 – later one, but the earliest one is the nicest one, I think.
The one with the kids.
Yeah, running and all over the world.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
That's not the national anthem, but what –
It's not.
What place does that song hold in Australian culture and – values and everything.
It doesn't, but people know it. Everyone knows it. And like especially expats living overseas.
Oh.
That song hits home.
Yeah.
That's the one for me.
Yeah.
It over Waltzing Matilda, over Advance Australia Fair, maybe not some Jimmy Barnes one, but that one especially.
Yeah. And that was written by Peter Allen, right?
It was written by Peter Allen.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something.
It gets you.
Yeah, it's called I Still Call Australia Home, and I encourage people to listen to the whole song. We're just going to play a few seconds, but it's beautiful.
It's
you're right.
Beautiful. And the film clip.
Yeah.
The clip that comes with it is beautiful.
Okay, back to the real world. Now, let's start with your childhood. You were born and grew up in Australia. What city did you grow up in?
Perth, Western Australia.
Okay.
Yes.
And did you have a large family, a lot of kids in the family?
I'm one of six. My mum was one of five. My dad's like one of seven, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Big families.
Now your parents immigrated from Portugal to Australia. Is that right?
Yeah. Both my mum and dad were born in Madeira, Portugal, a little island off Portugal.
You're like a double immigrant for me today.
Yeah,
this is
I am.
Great.
So my dad came to Australia like when he was young, him and his brother. Went to South Africa, from South Africa went to Australia. They ended up in Adelaide first, but my dad didn't really like it, so he went to Perth and heard about the fishing.
Oh, fishing.
Being an immigrant, not speaking English, that's what they were doing. They started
fishing.
That's what they knew.
In the 50s?
Gosh, I would say, probably about early 50s. My mom came over later. She came over already married to my dad. They got married by proxy.
Wow.
So my mum was in Madeira and my dad was in Perth, Western Australia, and they got married like by radio, I guess, back then. Mm-hmm. So my dad had a stand-in bride and my mum had a stand-in groom. Papers were signed. My mum got off the boat and there's her husband.
I mean, they knew each other before, right?
No, they did not.
It was like an arranged marriage?
No, they did not. No, my dad saw – well, there's two stories about my mum and dad, how they met. One, my dad tells people that she tells one story and he tells another. Apparently he saw a picture of her on a friend's fridge when he was living in Fremantle, Western Australia.
Seriously?
Yeah, said, oh, I'm going to marry that girl. And the lady, Gabriella, said, that's my sister. So my dad apparently wrote to her parents, her mum actually, because she was a widow, and says, I want to marry your daughter. They exchanged letters and got married.
Mm.
My dad tells another story. His friend was in love with my mother, who apparently couldn't write English. He was illiterate. Uh-huh. He couldn't write Portuguese either. So he'd get my dad to write the letters for him because my dad was a bit smarter and he goes, and better looking, so he says. But he started getting, like, you know, he would read these letters back to his friend because he was illiterate, and he started falling in love with my mother.
I like
so
this
when he was
better.
Writing letters to, on behalf of his friend to my mum, he was writing it from him.
Mm. That sounds so like that, a movie.
My mum reckons, like, no, that's not how it happened. But apparently, because she says she didn't have any boyfriends. But yeah, it's a bit, we laugh about it.
Those are both great stories. But they both came from Portugal. I want to talk a little bit later about the Portugal community.
Yes.
I didn't realize it was even a thing, but apparently it's pretty big.
It's huge.
But let's go back to your family. So you, yes. You said you came from a fairly large family.
Yes.
And talk about your childhood. Were you living in the city and suburbs and the village?
We were living in the suburbs.
Okay.
My parents lived in Fremantle all their lives because my dad was a fisherman. He was fishing with his brother. I'm one of six. There's mm-hmm. five girls and one boy. Growing up, we went to primary school across the road.
Like
Catholic
a public
school.
Catholic school?
Catholic okay. school, Christ the King school. And we walked to school and we'd come home for lunch because mum would have, you know, Portuguese food for us. And then we'd walk across back to school. High school was a little bit different. We did walk to school, to the closest one, and then we went to another college that was also Catholic. My mm-hmm. brother went to an all-boys college and the girls went to an all-girls college. That's mm-hmm. just the way it was. And we lived close by with family.
When you say college, would that be like high school here?
High school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were they in your – let's say your elementary school or primary school, were there a lot of students in the class? Were there the big classes?
I think the maximum was 30 back then.
Mm-hmm.
It was a small school. A lot of them were Portuguese or Italian or Croatians.
Okay. I'm resisting the urge to talk about that now because I want to talk about it later. Were your teachers nuns or were they?
Yes, they were
okay,
nuns.
Were they strict?
They were very strict.
Okay.
There were a couple that weren't nuns. Mm-hmm. I remember there was two Mrs. Drains. One was Mrs. O'Drain and one was Mrs. B. Drain. They were both married to brothers.
Interesting.
One lady, this might sound weird, but the only way I could remember which one was Mrs. O'Drain and which one was Mrs. B. Drain mm-hmm. was Mrs. O'Drain was the old one.
Oh, O for old.
And Mrs. B. Drain was the brown one.
Okay.
She was Indian.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was Indian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. What did kids do for fun in those days? Did you
Well, my parents play? Were strict.
Oh, were they?
Oh, yeah. Our friends were our cousins. We didn't have sleepovers. We weren't allowed to play down the road. We would go to the school and play on the school swings, like mm-hmm. during the weekends,
mm-hmm.
or we'd go to the beach with our families.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going to South Beach a lot when we were little mm-hmm. and we'd stay there all day. Like my family, my cousins, all of us. There'd be about 30 of us.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd stay there from like morning till close to midnight and then mm-hmm. go home because mm-hmm. it was hot. We didn't have air conditioning.
Oh.
So it was cooler to stay at the beach under the palm trees.
Yeah.
And it got so – that beach became known as Porco Palms. Like short for Portuguese palms.
Really?
It was like a bit of a slang word, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, what was it called?
Porco.
Porco.
Yeah,
that's
as in like
for Portuguese?
Yeah, okay. That was our slang name. That's
you called yourself that?
We did, and we had, you know, our Italian friends and Croatian friends calling us that. We'd call them dings. They'd call us porcos. We'd call them Slavs, you know, like, yeah.
I bet maybe it's not so politically correct nowadays,
not
but
so
back
much
then.
Now, no, but, you know. Even now when I see my friends,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, you poor guys. Yeah, but we don't take offense to it.
Right.
Yeah, it's
how
just
refreshing.
It's more like a term of endearment,
yeah.
really. It's
yeah.
not slang as in a bad way.
Got
so,
it.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts about the United States when you were a teenager? Did you ever think you would wind up living here or did you want to come here?
No.
No?
Well, no, not that I didn't want to live here. No, what I thought about it, no, I didn't even think I'd ever be here.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought it was glam and glitz and mm-hmm. Hollywood stars. Only the rich people live there.
Yeah.
Growing up, because that's what I saw on TV.
Yeah. Everyone what were some famous. Of the TV shows, American TV shows that you saw?
Oh, like Gilligan's Islands.
Oh.
Petticoat Junction.
Okay.
Hogan's Heroes. I mean, I'm old. my dad's favorite, Bonanza.
Okay. Oh,
all
yeah.
All those sort of shows. Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
All of those. Charlie's okay. Angels.
Okay. Now we're coming a little bit
yeah,
closer
yeah,
to the.
Yeah, a bit more. Actually.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And so you. Did you think you'd like to come to visit or was it just like something this far away?
No, because I was just that Portuguese girl, you know, we were poor. Mm-hmm. There was no way I was ever going to go to America and live that life. Mm-hmm. I always thought it was just famous people that lived here.
Yeah.
Growing up as a little kid. As I got older, I realized, you know, it was Hollywood. It was all movies and all that sort of stuff.
Did you travel to other, like New Zealand or Japan or other close countries?
I traveled a lot to Europe.
Did you?
And Asia.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what we did.
Yeah. Where did, what were some of the countries you went to?
Portugal, Spain, France. I never made it to Greece. I went to all pretty much all of Europe. Singapore, Hong Kong.
Wow.
Bali,
Japan?
Indonesia, Japan, Thailand. Loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved
it. Wow. You're quite a world traveler.
My whole family are, really, actually. We've all traveled a lot, mainly to Europe.
But never to the United States until you came here to live.
Yeah, I don't know what it was about America. I just
it's
feel like
far.
Well, Europe's just as far. I mean, I don't know. I think it was just mainly – I actually don't even know what didn't interest us to come to America. I don't know if it was – I think it's because it was like, oh, they speak English.
Yeah,
it
no
might
challenge.
Have been something. Yeah, it's not a challenge. Yeah. And I thought, Europe just sounds so romantic.
Yeah, well, I'll go along with that. What did you do after you finished college or whatever, secondary school, high school? Did you?
So I started working at a place called Young Australia League, which I started when I was young there. I didn't even finish college, high school. I decided I wanted to leave, got a job. Loved it. It was mainly working with like youth groups and like taking them out on vacations during their school holidays. But then I got offered a job at the bank, at the Commonwealth Bank of Australia, which I joined, I think, when I was 17.
Hmm.
And my cousin actually joined when she was 16.
Really?
Yeah, she's 2 years younger than me. So she started 2 years after me. Worked there for about 10 years, then got married and
working full time?
Yes, working full time. Was an interpreter also for the bank, for the Portuguese.
Oh.
Which I got paid extra for because, like,
good
that's an extra job on top of my job.
Yeah.
That was fun, working in Fremantle. Mm-hmm. A lot of immigrants there.
Well, let's talk about that now. How is the Portuguese community mainly in Perth or are they another?
Oh, they're all over. They're all over. But Fremantle has its own big community, and so does Perth. They
really?
Have two.
How did this start? How did this come about?
My dad, you know, came to Australia and like started fishing, and you know, with his brothers, and then there were other Portuguese, you know, word of mouth, go to Australia, fishing's great, good money, and I mean, before you know it, I mean, we were always at the Portuguese club.
Was it easy to immigrate? You know, in
back
those days?
Then, yeah, they wanted him, you know, they wanted workers.
Yeah.
Of course, the Portuguese and the Croatians and the Italians don't speak English, so they were doing the labor jobs, you know, the fishing, the market gardens. And the Italians were more like the builders. They were more like the building industry sort of thing. But they were also fishermen as well, mainly fishermen. But yeah.
Were those the three main immigrant communities in
Croatians
your area?
Croatians were big with their market gardens, and the Italians and the Portuguese with the fishing industry. There are some Croatians that were also fishing, a bit of both.
Mm-hmm. And did they have kind of separate neighborhoods that they lived in, ethnic neighborhoods?
We all
or were you
pretty
mixed
much
up
lived
together?
Around Fremantle.
Really?
Yeah, it's very cosmopolitan. Uh-huh. A lot of nationalities there.
What are some other nationalities? This is really interesting.
There's a lot of
me.
Indians.
Really?
A lot of Asians, I guess, because there's a area. It's not too far from them. The Asians are more there for high school or for university.
But when you were growing up,
it was mainly Portuguese, Croatians, and Italians.
Were there Greeks or?
There are Greeks, but they're north of the river, so they're like more Perth.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you grow up speaking Portuguese at home?
Yes, speaking Portuguese at home, go to school, speak English, come home and speak Portuguese.
Can you still speak it?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Did your parents ever learn to speak English well?
My dad did because he was working. My mum was a stay-at-home mum with six kids, and she would socialize with her sister-in-laws and neighbors and all that, and they all spoke Portuguese. So my mum was a bit later in speaking English. My dad speaks English, but it's very hard to understand him. but he's got that real accent. But he learned because of fishing with the Italians and the Croatians and the Australians. There were some Australian fishermen. But, yeah, and my dad speaks English.
You said your school was like a mixed Portuguese, Italian, Croatian kids.
Oh, yeah, the school.
Did you all get along well together?
Yeah, we all did because we all sort of had the same sort of parents that didn't speak English. You know, we'd go home and we'd have to – we'd take our parents to like a parent-teacher meeting. Yeah. We'd have to interpret like so I could really tell them anything. But we were good kids.
Were immigrant people kind of accepted by the larger community, as you recall, when you were a kid? Were there any problems?
Yeah, there wasn't really any problems because we sort of kept to ourselves.
Really?
We didn't really have a lot of Australian friends.
Really?
We had a next-door neighbour. He was lovely. He was a doctor. And he was a widow, and he was nice to us. He gave us our first bike, which we had to share among six of us. But he was nice. I mean, I had an Australian friend at school, Naomi, and her dad was the postmaster down at the post office. But I wasn't, you know, allowed to go to her house and hang out with
her. Your parents really that strict? They wouldn't let you go to other kids' houses?
Well, I'm not
except your cousins.
We could go to our cousins, but we weren't even allowed to have sleepovers at our cousins because there's boys there and you're a girl.
Got it.
Not that they're, you know.
Yeah.
But that's just the rules.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the term ESL or ELL, English as a second language? That's like in most American schools, there are ESL classes for immigrant kids. Did you have such a thing in Australia? For you, really? You just like sink or swim?
Yeah, sink or swim. Sink or swim. I was actually a pretty good student, I think. I mean, I never really got into trouble, never came home and not did my homework. I just didn't. Of course, my mum was never on my back about it.
But kids just kind of learn English, just they just got tossed into the mainstream classes.
I think at Christ the King School, primary school, because there were so many immigrant kids, I mean, we all sort of helped each other. So we just learned it. Yeah. And I guess instead of being a second language, there were more probably Europeans in those classes than there was Aussies.
Really?
Because it was also a Catholic school. So a lot of Australians went to public schools.
Got it. Yeah. So let's take a short break. We're going to come back and talk about your coming to America story. This is where it gets interesting. You're listening to Stories of New Americans on News Talk STL 101.9.
Stories of New Americans with Ron Clutho on News Talk STL.
I realize something that I've always known. I still call straight
up. Stories of New Americans.
Brought to you in part by Arnell's Hardwoods. For all of your laminate and hardwood flooring needs, call them at 314-397-3252.
Stories of New Americans.
Brought to you in part by the Indoor Comfort Team. For all of your heating and cooling needs, call the Indoor Comfort Team at 314-230-9542.
I'm always traveling. I love being free. So I keep leaving the sun.
This is Stories of New Americans with Ron Clutho on News Talk STL.
Welcome back. We're talking with Frances Sommerhoff from Australia, originally from Portugal. You were born in Australia, but your parents are from Portugal.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you see a difference between the way Australia, quote unquote, does immigration and the way America does it. Is one more successful than the other? In one country, are people more assimilated better, or should they be assimilated, or what are your thoughts on that?
I think immigration with Australia is a lot different to here.
How
so? We're surrounded by water, so it's a little bit harder to get in. also, our immigration, we have, I think they set so many visas a year. Once that quota's met, that's it. You're only coming in if you've got a skill or they need those certain skills. And it's not easy to get into Australia. I mean, my friend married an American and his visa took forever and they were married. But he got there eventually and he was a skilled worker, had a trade
English.
And spoke English. So, yeah, there is quotas on there. They do keep quotas on there. It's not just, I mean, I guess, but mind you, my American immigration story, you know, was also not difficult. It was time consuming.
Yeah.
It was back and forth.
Yeah.
And it was one thing after another. It was not easy.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about how, when, why you came to America.
Okay, so, well, I met John, of course. Like
your
when
husband.
When I was 20. I met him in Australia, in Fremantle, you know, and then eventually.
What was he doing there?
He was in the Coast Guard and on a break. Long story short, but anyway, I met him. I won't go into the details, but I met him. He left and went back to Seattle, and I eventually caught up with him. I think it was that year, and decided, we met up in Seattle. I mean, we had a good old time, met his parents. Then I went back to Australia and we sort of pretty much wrote to each other, and then that died off. He got married, I got married, and whatnot. But I think the immigration side of it, it was hard. It was mainly the back and forth with the paperwork. And then I had to go
on our side or
on your side.
Okay.
And then when I had to do my interview, I'm in Fremantle, Perth, WA. Mm-hmm. I had to go to Sydney for it.
How far away is that?
That's like from your east coast to your west coast, from California to New York, for an interview.
No, okay.
That took, you know, an hour.
Yeah.
And I just thought, why couldn't they do that in Perth? Because we have a consulate there, an American consulate, but you had to go to the actual head office.
To talk with an American official.
Correct.
To make sure you weren't
Correct.
A bad guy or something,
Correct.
I guess.
Correct. And I mean, this is after getting all my background checks done with the local police and then the international police. And I mean, it just went on and on and on. But it was mainly the paperwork.
Yeah.
You know, you send the paperwork and then it'd be like, oh, well, now you need this. And we're like, well, why didn't you just give me that all on this the first time?
Yeah.
So I can understand why people get lawyers to do
it
because it's a lot of work.
It's a racket.
It's a racket. Exactly.
What year was this when you eventually did come here?
We got married 2011. I got here 2012.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you were living in Illinois at the time, I guess, and you came to Illinois.
Yeah.
What was – God, can you think of any – like, did you have any culture shock? I know you speak the language, but what kind of – what was different? What was weird?
After almost 2 years of waiting to get here, we flew into a snowstorm.
Okay.
St. Louis.
Welcome to America.
So I got stuck in Dallas because they're like, sorry, you can't go in St. Louis because it was a huge snowstorm. I thought, are you kidding me? I've been waiting all this time and now you're telling me I can't come in because of – so get here and it's covered in snow. So that was a huge shock because that was the first time I actually had snow.
Really?
I had seen snow, yeah. So, yeah, that was interesting. Lucy loved it. I brought my daughter with me.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't – it's quieter here.
Is it?
Like – where we live, in
now,
Illinois.
Was this Edwardsville at the time?
Yes,
or,
Edwardsville, still Edwardsville.
Yeah.
It's quieter, but I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like Fremantle, even though it's a port city, it's still a city.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people, and plus all my family. But it's quieter here. I sort of tend to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were there any, like, cultural misunderstandings, linguistic misunderstandings?
I'll say things and people are like, oh, where are you from? And I'm like, Australia. And they're like, oh, I thought you sounded weird or you sound funny.
I was going to ask you about that. When people do learn that you're from Australia,
do they
make some comment? Do they have some weird stereotype or image? Or like what do you normally get?
The first thing they'll say is, oh, my God, I love your accent. I'm like, oh, okay, thank you. They're like, I've always wanted to go. I'm like, you should go.
Uh-huh.
They're like, it's so far away. I'm like, yes, it is, but it's worth the travel.
Uh-huh.
It really is. But they're always nice about it. Mm-hmm. Always nice about it. Or they'll talk about something they saw on TV, whether mm-hmm. it be Steve Irwin or Paul Hogan.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, they always refer to something, but they always say they have always dreamed of going or they want to go or it's uh-huh. on their bucket list.
Uh-huh.
And they just love the way I talk.
Do they have kind of misconceptions or misunderstandings or stereotypes of Australia that you've heard?
Not. They haven't said anything to me.
Not
they're
to your
just
face.
Always like, they mm-hmm. always get me mixed up with English, and I'm like, oh, I'm not that posh. they do. They're very nice about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but no misconceptions, I don't think. unless they look at me and think, oh, gosh, she's not blonde and blue eyes. I don't know.
What about, you know, we both speak English, but there are some different, I guess, slang words or some words. I know, like in England, English, yes. British English is American, and American English are
very
quite different.
Yep.
Are there some words that mean different things between our two dialects?
Not that I can think off the top of my head. I mean, I'll say things like, you know, no worries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had that today, actually. I think it worked, didn't I, John?
We say that.
But I'll say, oh, no worries. And somebody goes, oh, where are you from? But, like, I guess that's, I don't know.
That's pretty American
just,
now,
yeah.
I think. So really no culture shock to speak of. You're no fun.
No, not for me. Not really. I mean, I feel like everyone's really polite
uh-huh.
here.
Okay, more than in Australia?
No, I mean, Australians are, they're just Captain Casual. They're casual.
Yeah.
But here they're very polite.
Okay.
I remember the first time I came, people comment and go, oh, I like your outfit or I like your hair.
Uh-huh.
Like in Australia, they don't care. They're just walking past you. Hey, how's it going? They're all fun
yeah.
and they're polite.
Yeah.
But they don't go, oh, my God, I love your outfit or, you know, somebody mm-hmm. came up to me once and said, I love your shoes. Where did you get them?
A total stranger?
Yeah, total stranger. And I would never do that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I do now. I'll chase someone down the street and go, hey, where'd you get that bag from? Or, you know. But, you know, they're very polite here.
Well, that's good to hear.
Not that that's a shame.
Okay, how did your life develop here? What kind of work did you do? Do you do?
I left Perth, I worked for the CEO office of the health department of Perth.
Mm-hmm.
And they were building the Fiona Stanley Hospital at the time. I left there as a PA and came here, and I was shocked when I tried to apply for PA work here.
Mm-hmm.
The wage difference was like, are you kidding me? The wages was a huge shock.
Really?
To me. Yes. But then.
Was it higher over there?
Yeah, I was like on $80,000 as a PA.
Wow.
Whereas here, you'd be lucky to get $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a shock. Even with the exchange rate, it was not right. But
was
anyway.
Was it a higher cost of living in Australia too?
There is a higher cost of living, but there's also higher taxes.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but like in my mind, it felt like, oh, well, I don't want to do PA work when I'm there. So I sort of looked around and I thought, well, with the kids, I just want to keep it simple.
Yeah.
And something that I can be home for. It was hard to find work here. I mean, I was either overqualified or
yeah.
they just didn't want me. So eventually a friend of mine texted me and said, hey, I've got a family, you know, a girl that I work with. She's also a school teacher. Her family own a business, a small family business.
Mm-hmm.
They just want someone to come in and do a couple of hours a day. I'm like, that's me. I just want to get out of the house. It's going uh-huh. to drive me crazy. I went up there like 20 minutes later, had an interview and said, can you start tomorrow? And I said, yep. And he goes, listen, if you're looking for a job that, you know, you're going to climb the corporate ladder. And I'm like, no. I need to get out of the house and meet people, you know, sort uh-huh. of thing. 4 hours a day suits me fine. Well, now we own it.
Yeah. How did that happen? You and your husband
own
the business now.
My old boss, Tim, the owner, offered, you know, said, oh, you know, I want to retire. Would you and your husband be interested in buying the business? I said, no, we're getting to that age where we want to slow down. I mentioned it to John and he said, don't say no, just say, oh, you know, not yet sort of thing, or maybe. Anyway, eventually he was going to retire and talked to us, you know, we had a couple meetings with him and eventually it sort of worked in our favour. So we're like, yeah, look, why not? I mean, John wanted to get out of, you know, being a journalist. I was working there part-time and I sort of knew what I was doing. I thought, yeah, this is great. We're 5 minutes from home. Easy. Like, it's just easy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we ended up doing. We took over the business and he's retired and gone to Florida, living the dream. And there we are working.
You're living your dream.
Yeah.
Well, tell us briefly what the business is. What do you do?
So we're like a DMV in Illinois. We're private remitters mm-hmm. for the state of Illinois, and we register vehicles, boats.
And you're plenty busy, I guess.
We are busy as anything.
Mm-hmm.
During COVID was our busiest time.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Nobody's working, but they were all buying cars.
Really?
Yeah, most of our dealerships in Missouri were record sales in the history of their dealerships. Yeah. So I guess those stimulus checks helped.
Yeah. They're good for something.
Yeah.
Do you go back to visit Australia sometimes?
We do. We were there at Christmas time. My son and his wife just had a baby.
Your son lives over there, but you brought your daughter from your previous marriage with
you
here.
So Lucy was 12 when she came over, and Neto was 20, and he was working. Mm-hmm. So he was doing his apprenticeship. And he did not want to come over because he had a girlfriend at the time as well. Mm-hmm. So he stayed home with his dad, and Lucy came with me. Yeah, I do go there as much as I can, God willing. We were there at Christmas time when they had their baby. I was there, I think I was there the year before that too. John tries to come over as well. He was there at Christmas time with us. We try to sort of like spread it, but they're coming over next year, so that'll be fun.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Your son and
daughter and my granddaughter, great. Yeah. So they'll be here, I think, in July sometime. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'd like to meet them.
Yeah.
When you go back, has Australia changed? Every time you go back, does it seem different or does it just seem the same?
Yeah, it's changed a little bit, but nothing dramatic, nothing crazy. It's still the same. It's just got bigger.
Really?
And housing's boomed over there, especially in Perth, because people in Sydney and Melbourne, it's getting too expensive to live there, they're moving over to the West Coast and buying up crazy.
Are there still those ethnic areas or enclaves in Perth?
Fremantle's very very multicultural. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Europeans around Fremantle. Mm-hmm. Then you go north of the river, it's also – but, yeah, it's mixed, but it's nice.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you'll ever live there again?
I think the dream would be to live there one day and possibly retire there. Once all the kids are out of our hair and doing their own thing and living there, I mean, they'll be all over, which is great because we can visit them. But, yeah, that would be the dream. I mean, my whole family's there. You know, I've got four sisters and a brother. Mum and dad's still alive. Mm-hmm. My cousins, my aunties. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the dream.
Why don't we take another short break here? This is maybe a good time to stop, but we'll come back and pick this up in a minute. You're listening to Stories of New Americans on News Talk STL.
Stories of New Americans with Ron Clutho on News Talk STL.
But no matter how far or how wide I run, still come straight.
Stories of New Americans.
Brought to you in part by Samim Afghan Restaurant, featuring traditional Afghan cuisine and conveniently located on Manchester Road in the Grove.
Stories of New Americans.
Brought to you by Hacking Law, for individuals who want to come and stay in the U.S. Hacking Law fights for immigrants every day. Visit them at hackingimmigrationlaw.com.
This is Stories of New Americans with Ron Clutho on News Talk STL.
We're back with Frances Sommerhoff, and we talked about her coming to the United States, surviving all that red tape and bureaucracy and living here now. And your daughter, Lucy, how old is she now?
She's 23.
And she's still here?
She's here.
What's she doing?
She was in college. She is also in the National Guard.
Really?
Yeah, she joined the National Guard.
She's a real Sommerhoff.
She joined the National Guard.
She sat
one of those exams at school and did really well and had phoning her.
Really?
Yeah, she came home one day and said, I'm joining the National. I'm like, no, hang on a second. No, I didn't understand it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, John was in the Coast Guard. And
that's part of the Sommerhoff family.
The family. And I'm like, whoa, what do you mean you're joining the National Guard? Because I'm thinking she's going to go to war. And John's like, no, it's the National Guard. And like, when I understood, I'm like, okay, you do you. But I think she finishes up next year, so she'll be done.
Why did she want to go into that?
I think it was the opportunity. And I mean, we didn't push her. I personally didn't push her. John was like, yeah, if that's a good way to go for college and everything. But I was more like, But, yeah, that's what she decided to do.
What's her immigration status?
She is, like me, a permanent resident. But she could join – and that was another thing. I said to her, can you join the National Guard if you're a permanent
–
Yes, you can.
I didn't know
Apparently you can.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Does she Maybe I should ask John this. Does she have an Australian accent when she speaks now, or is she more American?
She's more American.
Is she?
She's got
John
that.
Singh. Maybe.
She's a bit of both, but yeah. Like she's more American. When I hear her talking, I look at her and I'm like, but she's been here really.
Most of her life. Well, half of her life, maybe.
Next year will be half a life.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I think because she's younger too, so
yeah.
When she got here, she clicked more with that me.
Yeah.
I'm in a rut.
And she, I mean, she just fit right in and she loved it here.
Yeah, she had a hard time at school. But yeah, other than that, she got on all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw another question to you out of left field because I really don't understand this. But I believe Australia is still a member of the British Commonwealth. Is that right?
Yes, we are.
Can you explain what that means and what – is it good or bad? Is it – what are the advantages or disadvantages?
I don't know what the disadvantages are. I don't know what the advantages are. But I love it.
You love it?
I love it.
Okay. Does that make it easy? Like could you go and live in England if
yes,
you wanted to?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Yes, I can.
Could you live in any Commonwealth country?
Yes.
Like legally you could just –
yes, okay. You could.
So that's one advantage, I guess.
I would imagine you would have to still immigrate though.
But it'd be a lot easier,
I
guess.
Yeah. Yes. I like the fact that it was just, you know, we're under the Queen.
It's a king now, Francis.
Not so much Charles, but, you know, I'll give him a go.
Okay.
Until
did you watch
gets
the coronation?
I did. I watched it all.
Okay.
I wanted to see what Camilla was wearing, but anyway, that's another story. I like it. A lot of Aussies want to break away from the British monarch.
Yeah.
I don't see what the disadvantages of just being.
It just seems like so traditional and so.
I love it. Yeah. I love all that pomp and ceremony. I love it.
So is Australia, I mean, it's obviously an independent country, but it is a member of the British Commonwealth, which.
Yeah, like we have our own rules, our own parliament. We don't really, you know, we're not under the Queen's or the King's thumb, so to speak. Like we don't. It's just a name only to me.
Yeah.
Like, I guess if we were going to war, we'd have to go with them. Because we are under the British colony.
That's interesting.
I love it. But it's to me, it's like having the Queen and then you've got your own government.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, India's like that, I think.
Yeah,
Yeah, so it doesn't affect us.
Did the Queen visit Australia frequently on official
state
visits?
I think when she was younger. Mm-hmm. I, you know, mainly Sydney or Melbourne. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm on the, you know, West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
But and Prince Charles and Diana did, I think, at one stage.
Mm.
But yeah, not. But it's a big deal when they come.
Mm.
It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Could I ask you about the Aborigine people of Australia?
Sure.
What is their place in society now and historically? I get the feeling it's sort of similar to our Native Americans in many ways.
Yes. So I haven't been there for a while, but it is a lot more – like my sisters work in health. So there's a lot of, you know, having the – like over the years I've noticed that, like, you know, like Ayers Rock now is Uluru. They've changed – sacred sites or names or forests and land, and they've got like the Australian name and they've got the Aboriginal names. It is very similar. They have land rights.
And they had been there for centuries before the Europeans came, right?
Yes.
That kind of like situation here.
Very similar to the Native Indians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very similar. There's a lot, but like the true Aboriginals that live on their own, like in their tribes still, they don't really go into the cities. That's more the people that are sort of like citified and like not living. It's not like your Indians here where they have their own like little
– reservations.
Yeah, they have their reservations. They have their own rules. Like there they have their own law, I guess, but there's a lot of – I don't know how to say it. They do their own thing within a certain thing, but they still live under our laws,
right.
Like the Australian law.
Do they have their own language? Are there maybe many different languages?
They
maybe?
Do, and they have different dialects. Yeah. There's so many. I mean, yeah. I think there's like hundreds.
Are they able to – are there schools in those languages? Or
I don't know if there's schools, papers? But they have their own communities. Yeah. They have their own like schools. I guess they're teaching them English out in the middle of nowhere. But like a lot of Aborigines go to like mainstream school. Good at sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're great at sports.
I remember Yvonne Goolagong, the great tennis player.
Great tennis player.
Yeah. All right, I want to talk with about some of these strange Australian foods like Vegemite.
Gross.
Tell us what Vegemite
Gross.
Is. Gross.
It's basically, it's salted, it's like, is it like marmalade? Not marmalade.
Marmite.
Marmite.
That's the British version.
It's really salty.
Yeah.
I hate it.
It's made basically out of yeast, right?
It's yeast, yeah. And it's black and it's gross. I can't stand it. My sisters love it. They put it on toast with like butter and spread it thin, but you can put them on crackers.
Yeah.
I use it only for like soups or stews, but that's it, just to add flavor.
Yeah.
But it's quite salty.
No, I was introduced to Marmite by some British friends, it's the same. I think Marmite's better. Sorry, no offense.
Oh, but I don't blame
A little
you.
Bit better, but it is very salty.
It's very salty.
It's an acquired taste, I guess, because I didn't like it at first, but I like it now.
You should give Vegemite a go.
I will. What is a pavlova?
Oh, my God. It's so yummy. It's like a meringue cake. So it's hard-crusted like meringue, and it's just pavlova. It's like just fluffy, gooey inside, and you usually eat it on Australia Day.
It's like Independence Day?
That's our Australia Day. It's January 26th.
Okay.
That is, like your Independence Day.
Yeah,
you would have that at barbecues, and it's usually got fruit on it and like passion fruit. It's beautiful. It's yummy.
What about Anzac biscuits?
Yummy. They're just nutty and yum.
That's an acronym, Anzac, I think, right? It's all in the capital letters. Is that Australia, New Zealand?
Yes, it's after the core of the Australia, New Zealand. No. What is it? Army Corps.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it was like
the Anzacs.
Army food?
Well, they used to go to the boys in like the army when they were away.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a cookie.
Okay.
It's a yummy, yummy, yummy cookie. It's with nut and wheat.
Okay. Final question. What is Lamington?
Lamington.
Lamington. What are those?
So it's like a sponge cake dipped in chocolate on the outside and then rolled in coconut.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you find these things in the United States?
You know what? Not those things. Vegemite you can probably find. I think it was at, was it the World? What's that?
World Market.
World Market had it once. And I think I found some Tim Tams at Target once.
Tim Tams? What are those?
Oh my gosh. I'm going to send you some. I'm going to send you some.
Please do.
From at home. But they're so expensive here.
What are they, cookies or what?
They're yummy chocolate cookies,
Never heard
of
those.
And I'll send you the Tim Tam Slam.
Tim Tam Slam.
There's only one way to eat it.
Okay.
Yeah. They're like a little rectangle biscuit, cookie, whatever you want to call it, covered in chocolate.
Yeah.
You're going to bite one corner, and you're going to bite the other corner, the opposite corner.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to dip that in your coffee or your tea, and you're going to sip through it. And then you're going to throw that whole thing in your mouth. That's called a Tim Tam Slam.
Okay.
And it just melts in your mouth.
It's like a graham cracker, what we would call a graham cracker.
It's nicer than a graham cracker. Okay. It's just like a thin cookie.
I'm going to have to try this.
Chocolate filled.
Yeah.
I will send you some.
Okay. I want to try this for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Popular sports, I guess,
football,
cricket, rugby.
Rugby's huge.
Rugby is maybe the biggest, right?
Rugby's huge, but Australian footballs, Aussie rule football, is massive as well. Cricket, great summer sport, and soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much it.
Yeah. I know you live across the river in Illinois, but do you know if in St. Louis there is a sizable Australian community?
You know what? I don't know. I've met some Aussies at work, and believe it or not, they'll be from Perth. And I'm like, really? Like, I met one girl, she lives in Troy, Illinois, and she's from Perth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you're kidding me. And we were introduced to by a lady from the bank. She goes, I know this other Aussie girl who I just happened to see, you know, so-and-so, and she introduced me to her. She's from Perth. I couldn't believe it. There is another guy that comes in. He's been here 30-something years, and he sounds true blue Aussie. Like, he sounds like he just got off the boat.
Yeah.
He's, yeah. I'm like, how long have you been here? He goes, 30 years. And I'm like, wow.
Well, he probably wants to keep his accent. He probably wants to.
Yeah, I know. But he sounds like an Aussie.
Mm-hmm. Is he from Perth also?
No, he's not. He's from Sydney, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I haven't I don't know if there's any communities here. I've never been to one.
I don't know either. I know a lot of the other people I interview say that there's a, you know, they have community organizations here and they celebrate holidays and things like that. But
no,
guess
I've,
not here.
I've not heard of it, nor have I seen anything.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay. If I would go to Australia, what should I – what are the two or three things that I definitely need to see? Where should tourists go?
Oh, let's see. The Great Barrier Reef, Ayers Rock, Perth.
Perth.
Western Australia.
Unbiased opinion.
Sydney and Melbourne, you know, are beautiful. Don't get me wrong. Like, you know, Sydney Harbour Bridge and, you know, the Opera House. That's all beautiful. But it is very touristy. Tasmania's beautiful as well.
Oh, okay.
Adelaide's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Queensland's nice.
I mean,
there's so many places. But Perth is – we've had – John's had family that have gone to Perth and said they loved it. Mm-hmm. Out of all the – and they travel a lot. That's probably one of their favourite places in the world. So, yeah, we've got beautiful beaches.
Are there good Portuguese restaurants in Perth?
There's a few, but not – it's not huge. Mm-hmm. Like, no.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few – good restaurants, but not many. There's mainly a lot of Asian food there.
Mm.
Italian restaurants, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was more their gig.
Mm-hmm. What about a Portuguese community in St. Louis? Have you found that?
No, I haven't.
I don't think I have either.
I haven't really looked.
Yeah.
There might be one.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had some people come in to work once and said there's a huge Portuguese community. Where was it, John? Rhode Island. I'd love
Rhode
to go
Island,
there. They
and
have
also,
a festival, I think.
Yeah, Massachusetts, there are fishermen there too, I think.
Yeah, they have like the Portuguese fishermen's
yeah.
Do they have the, like the Blessing of the Fleet or something
probably.
Like that?
Was it Fall River? I can't think of the name of the town in Massachusetts. But
I don't know, but like I would love to
Gloucester,
go to that.
Maybe.
Yeah, because I mean Fremantle's, they have the Blessing of the Fleet every year, which is the Blessing of the Fishing Fleet.
Yeah.
And it's Portuguese, it's Italians, it's the Croatians, and that's a massive day. It's a parade.
Great.
Yeah.
What is the best and the worst thing about living in the United States for you?
The worst thing I would say is being away from my family.
Right.
The best part would be I like it. It's pretty laid. It's laid back where we live in Edwardsville.
Mm-hmm.
But I sort of like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the worst part is being away from a family, but the good part is being away from my family. I know that sounds awful.
You're not going to hear it. Don't worry.
No, well, yeah, but yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, I'm one of six, and it's just.
When you go to Australia and then you come back here, do you feel like you're coming home when you come back here, or do you feel like you're going home when you go back there?
No, I feel like I'm coming home when I come back
really?
Here. But I still call that home, if that makes
I
any sense.
I still call Australia home.
I do.
As the song goes.
I do. And I mean, John always laughs at me because, you know, he'll say, you're Australian. I'm like, no, I'm Portuguese.
Is that really how you identify?
Yes. When
really?
I'm in Perth, people don't say, are you Australian? Because I'm living there.
Yeah.
People say, oh, where are you from? I'm like, oh, I'm Portuguese. My parents are from, like, my friends will say the same thing about being Italian or Croatian.
But here you call yourself Australian, right?
Yes. Yes.
Do you,
but then I might say, yeah, my parents are from Portugal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but I do classify myself in Australia as Portuguese.
That's interesting. Okay. I guess final question. Maybe this is not really a question, but what, like, do you have any words of wisdom, final thoughts, messages to America? Maybe a lot of times I find that people that come from other countries notice things about America or about us that we don't notice about ourselves. Have you noticed anything that like that? Does that make sense?
Should I go out on a big bang here? I think you guys take yourselves too seriously.
Really?
Just lighten up. Seriously. It's, you know, life is short. I think people.
Interesting.
People just, you know, don't want to offend people or like.
Yeah.
You know, like have a laugh. Like if someone's making fun of you, just laugh with them.
Yeah, I agree.
Who cares?
Yeah. If they call you a, what do they call pork?
A porco.
Porker.
Yeah. People call me porcos. Yeah. And I think that's funny.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I.
So lighten up, right?
I think so. Lighten up.
I think that's.
Just chill
that's
out.
That's very I wise. Mean, yeah.
You're getting up every morning. You're doing your thing. Yeah. No one's hurting you. Just get on with it.
Yeah. Words to live by.
There you go.
I think that's a good place to end it. But yeah, thank you very much for this.
Thanks for having
very
me.
Very interesting interview. It took a while to set this up, but I'm glad we finally did.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm glad I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. Thank you very much.
Fun.
Thank you. All right, you've been listening to Stories of New Americans on Newstalk STL 101.9. Thank you for listening.
Stories of New Americans with Ron Clutho on Newstalk STL.